Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we want to begin a discussion about a trip that Eric took to Memphis, Tennessee for the reopening, I guess you could say, right? It was a reopening of the Memphis, Tennessee Temple. It's actually located in Bartlett, Tennessee. But the reason why this temple was reopened for public viewing is because after 17 years of being in existence, it was dedicated in the year 2000. But Eric, you learned while you were there that one of the problems this building had was a serious mold problem. Explain to us why that became important for, I guess, the reason why this temple has been rededicated.
We normally don't see temples as young as 2000, 17 years of age, being closed to be redone. They'll do this with older temples. They'll put in new wiring for the electrical. They'll put in communication systems and other things like that. So I was really amazed because I had not heard why this one was closed down to be able to be reopened in 2019. I talked to some of the leaders there, and they said that there was a mold problem because of the marble they used did not breathe. And so what was happening in the humid area of Tennessee, mold was growing behind the marble. So when they closed it in 2017, they actually thought that they could just take out some walls and take care of that mold problem. But it wasn't the case. They had to raise the entire building and take it down to its foundation, I was told. And I asked how much that costs, and even the PR director of the temple and the whole area said he didn't know. He knew it cost millions of dollars because you tore down a building that was just built in 2000, but because the lack of foresight by the architects, the builders, it was beautiful. In fact, some of the residents I talked to said they really thought it was much more pretty with the marble. Now it just has stucco on there, and they were kind of disappointed, even though they weren't LDS, because of how beautiful that was. And yet it cost them down the road because of that terrible mold problem. You don't want mold in a building.
No, that's a bad thing. And this isn't a huge building, folks. It's in a residential area. It's not like some of the larger temples that are built on the side of freeways that are easy to see. It's kind of difficult to find it. I mean, I remember when you and I had speaking engagements in Mississippi and in Tennessee a few years back, we had to look for this thing. I mean, we needed GPS to find it. It's 10,900 square feet. So that's not a large temple as temples usually are.
For those who have been in temples, you know that usually they have multiple floors and there's multiple rooms. Well, this one, you walk past the recommend desk, right to the right is the baptismal font area where baptisms for the dead take place. Then you go down a hallway and you're going to enter into the different rooms, including the celestial room. And I can't imagine the celestial room being more than maybe, I don't know, 800 square feet, 1,000 square feet. It was so small, it just felt like the walls were closing in. And so I think this might be the smallest temple that I have ever been in.
It was only open for a week, and that was kind of a last-minute announcement, wasn't it?
They initially announced that there would be no temple open houses for both this temple and the one that was opened up a week later in Oklahoma City.
And that's also a renovation project. Oklahoma City is not a new temple. That's been around for a while as well.
So with that idea that there would be no open house, it was, well, I guess we're not going to have any outreach there like we like to do. I have been to, this is my 22nd temple open house event that I've attended. And so I thought, well, I have contacts in Memphis. It's too bad that they're not going to do one because that would have been a great outreach. Well, a month before they actually had the open house, they announced on their website that they would have a special 1 week temple open house event. I had to scramble to get over there. And it's interesting that they were scrambling because the leaders only had one extra month before that to be able to put this together. And so they were not able to do what they normally could do. He said 6 to 9 months typically is how long they get to prepare for this, to invite all the local pastors to special events, all the different things that they have to do for this, they were not able to do. And they even said when they opened it, they were worried that not everything was going to be done because they did not have enough time. And so they were putting sod down just the day before the event took place.
Now, this temple was not open all day. Normally, when you and I have been to temple open houses, they start like early in the morning and they go late at night. Explain, how long was the temple open?
They actually did not have enough help. There are three states involved in the open house here. You have Arkansas, you have Alabama, and you have Mississippi, and then part of Tennessee, so actually four states. Mormons from those states were supposed to volunteer. They did not get enough to volunteer. So Saturday, the first day it was open 12 hours. Typically, the members will volunteer for six-hour shifts. So you have the 8 to 2 and 2 to 8. That's how they were doing this Saturday. But Monday through Thursday of the next week, they were only open 2 to 8. And then Friday and Saturday, again, they were open 8 to 8. The parking lot was never really full. They never had to use a bus that they had rented for the Saturdays. They thought maybe there would be more people, but there were always at least 40, 50, 60 spots available in the parking lot. They have a very large parking lot there. They had a total of 11,000 visitors over the 7 days of this temple open house.
And relatively speaking, that's not really a lot of people. As you just explained, it's completely rebuilt, but it was already there for several years. So I guess the novelty is wore off a long time ago.
And I would say, on the average, between 80 to 90% of everyone who went was a Latter-day Saint. You could tell by the way they dressed and the way they reacted in the parking lot to us, too, because a lot of people driving past us, they had to drive past us, and we would stand on the public sidewalk with the newspaper that we have designed that can actually be seen on our website, sacredorsecret.com. If you go to sacredorsecret.com, you can go and click on the PDF and see what it is we were handing out. And that has a lot of information we want, especially people who may not know a whole lot about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, what they do really teach, to be able to have access to this information. And so in four pages, we think we have done everything possible. Plus, we hold up these website signs, sacredorsecret.com, and we would average 60, sometimes 70 unique visits every single day. So we knew that that was productive as well, because we're talking about if we were out there for maybe 6 hours on the weekdays and on the Saturdays we were trying to stay out there longer, we were getting a pretty good response, I think, from just being there at the exit. And there was only one way to enter and only one way to exit, so it worked out really well for us as far as our week of ministry.
Now, the website sign that, of course, directs people to a URL that we own as a ministry, sacredorsecret.com. The reason why we chose that URL is because Sacred or Secret is a phrase that we hear often from Latter-day Saints when they're asked about the temple endowment ceremony, at least the intricacies of the temple endowment ceremony. If you ever talk to a Latter-day Saint about the temple ceremony, you're going to find that they don't really want to share a lot of the details of what goes on inside these buildings. And many times they will excuse that by saying, well, we look at the temple as being sacred, though it's not secret. They always want to make sure you understand that it's not secret. Now, folks, we know for a fact that in the earlier ceremonies, prior to 1990, the ceremony itself said it was secret, and patrons, as they are called, and those are participants that go through the temple endowment ceremony, the patrons are warned not to talk about it. They make an oath vowing not to talk about it.
That would be one of the biggest complaints. People would roll down their windows who were Latter-day Saints, and they would say, it's sacred. And then I would say, as they were trying to drive away, well, it's also secret, or come out and tell me all about it. But we have in our newspaper a quote from Richard Bushman, who said in the Deseret News, March 6, 2008, he said, while some members will claim that Mormon temples are sacred, not secret, Bushman said that temples are secret, plain, and simple, noting that even members don't speak to each other about it.
And we should mention that Richard L. Bushman is a Mormon historian. He's a very well-respected Mormon historian. I kind of appreciate Richard Bushman, but he is a faithful Latter-day Saint, and here he is admitting that, yes, they are sacred, but they're also secret. And I would agree with him. They're both. Okay, they are sacred to the Latter-day Saint. I can appreciate that coming from their worldview. But let's be serious. If you're told not to talk about something, doesn't that tend to lend itself to being something that is, to, at least to the Latter-day Saints, is being somewhat secret? I would say yes, it is.
That response that we would get from the Latter-day Saints driving by us was, that was the second biggest response. The first response, when people would roll down their windows, and that didn't happen all the time because it was cool, but when they would ask this question, do you do this at the mosque? Why are you at our church doing this? We don't do this to you. And the response, quite simply, if I only get 10 seconds to explain, I say, well, I actually believe in sharing the gospel with anybody, but this is a public venue. This is an open house. And so we want to make sure that people have full access to the information that is out there. Not everybody going through here is Latter-day Saint, I would say. And I want to make sure that they can hear the other side of the story so they can fully practice what they call agency. And they think agency is a good thing. Well, they should know the other side and then make the right choice. And then I also would explain that we're not going to be at their private dedication ceremonies. We're only there because it's a public event, and I think we have every right to do so.
And that's always been our policy ever since we started doing outreaches at temples. As you said, they are public events. There are going to be a lot of people who are not LDS that are going to go through these buildings. And as I mentioned earlier, they are not going to get a lot of detailed information. It's going to be very vague. Things like, well, we do sacred ordinances and we do works for our dead and we are sealed for time and eternity in a marriage relationship. Very basic. But they're not going to get into, say, for instance, the tokens that are exchanged. They're not going to get into the key words that they are supposed to say. And all these things are necessary for the Latter-day Saint if they hope to be exalted, as they understand it, in the next life. In order to become a god, it's necessary that a Latter-day Saint go through the temple endowment ceremony. That's absolutely essential. And if they are not going to give full disclosure as to what goes on in the temple, I don't think they should be angry with us merely because, as you said, we want these people to have all the information so that they can make a decision based on as much information that they can possibly have. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about this some more, but there's so many things that went on while Eric was there in Memphis, and I hope you'll tune in to tomorrow's broadcast.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Did you know that this year marks the 40th anniversary of Mormonism Research Ministry? All of us at MRM want to thank those of you who have faithfully supported our efforts to educate the body of Christ about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity, as well as sharing God's grace with the Mormon people. If you would like to give a special anniversary gift to further our efforts here at MRM, simply click the donate button on our homepage at mrm.org. Your support, as always, is greatly appreciated.